great news. Yeah. I had several people come up and ask. I'm off of the 24/7 antibiotic. I'm on an oral antibiotic for 2 weeks, and then I'm going to be off of it, and they're going to come back and take blood cultures and check my blood for staph infection, all that stuff. I'm hurting like crazy those last 3 days with my back, but I know that I'm a progress in healing. But this is the one thing I want to remind you about, that I was reminded of this morning. Nobody said it'd be easy. Nobody ever said that it would be easy. And I just challenge you, press through. Don't quit. Keep walking. Don't give up. And on the day that it's the worst, just take one more step. And I believe that eventually we'll just walk through and walk out. Could somebody say amen? I'm interrupting my schedule. If you've been with us this summer, I have been trying to minister out of the revelation that God's given me through walking through a lot of difficulty and speaking on a series called Real Life and Real God. But I'm not going to continue that series today. I felt prompted very clearly that I was not to do that today. And I want to teach on a subject. I want to teach today. This message probably won't move you to run to the altar. But it's gonna be a pretty strong word for you and a reminder. We're living in a Christian culture that can be very driven by fads, spiritual bubbles. You can put a bunch of different things, the latest worship song or the latest worship group, or man, we got to get to Atlanta to go to that church, and we really need. And it's almost like eating junk food. It doesn't nourish you, and you find yourself still hungry, your body craving things. And so today, if it's okay, I'm gonna go back and make your walk with God. I want to simplify it. And I really want to teach today on prayer. Because I think in our culture of chasing fads and quick fixes and getting a word from this pastor, and I'm not saying that God can't use all of those things. Yes, he can. But if we don't know him, if we don't have our foundation built on the word of God that is ours and prayer, then the storm is going to knock us off our foundation. And so today's simple message today is pouring concrete. There's nothing glamorous about pouring a concrete foundation of a house. It's work. It's labor. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people that their house isn't standing in their Christianity and their faith because they didn't pour concrete. And so if it's okay, I want to teach just a message on prayer. And I really, really, really worked hard to get a really great, cool outline, and it never happened. So I'm going to be what my pastor in Macon called, it's going to be sort of like a fat man going through a barbed wire fence. Here a point, there a point, everywhere a point. So if it doesn't seem like it's these nice segues, it isn't because I didn't try. But I really got some things that have really changed my life about prayer. And I think that it needs to be something that is rediscovered in this church and maybe in your life. So I want to ask you this question, just a test. Right now on a 1 to 10, if you were to examine your prayer life the last month, 10 being the best you think it could be, and 1 being prayer. What's that? Haven't talked to him in a long time. Where are you at? What needs to change? I'm slow about doing that because I don't want this house ever to be a house of condemnation, but at the same time, we need to judge ourselves. We need to look in the mirror, and we need to examine ourselves that we wouldn't lose our way in a way that in a season, in a culture that's very easy to lose your way. So let me go ahead and pray. Father, in the next few minutes, as I just simply out of my life and out of things that you're sharing with me to teach today, I pray that you would invite us. I pray that we would rediscover not only the invitation, but the essence of knowing the Father today. And that we would exercise this beautiful, beautiful gift called prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you have your notebooks this morning, could you write, if you have your outlines or whatever you're taking notes on, would you write this down? To know him. To know him. I want to give you a scripture, Exodus 19, verse 4. God has delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, where they've been in bondage 400 years. And then this is what God says in Exodus 19, verse 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. And I brought you to myself. I love this Old Testament picture, because the Old Testament paints these outlines of the paradigm that was coming, the teaching that we were going to receive through Christ. And what we see in the Old Testament here is God says, you were in bondage in Egypt, which is symbolic of sin. And then God decided to deliver them, and he sent a man named Moses. And Moses exercised the power of God through the plagues and through the deliverance and the Red Sea. And then they are being on the verge of being brought into the Promised Land. And God said, did you not see what I did to the Egyptians? And I want you to be reminded that I have brought you this far. But this is why I brought you that far, is that I have brought you to know me. I brought you to myself. So he's saying, I wasn't just delivering you from the taskmasters of slavery. I was bringing you as a nation into a place where I wanted you to know me and for me to know you. And then if you translate that to the New Testament, I'm so grateful that Jesus came from heaven to earth. Could somebody say amen? He came, why? To deliver us from sin, to deliver us from Egypt. An Old Testament picture of Moses is symbolic of a New Testament picture of Christ, who comes with the power of God, but also with the surrender. And he is used by God, and he becomes the Lamb of God, and he delivers us. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he destroyed the works of Satan. Look at what I've done to the Egyptians. 1 John 3:5. For this purpose I've manifested myself, to completely destroy the works of Satan. Jesus came and he gave us victory over death, hell, and the grave. And I lift up my hands for what he's done. But the purpose was not to deliver us out of Egypt and get Egypt out of us. He did it to bring us to the Father, that we might spend an eternity with him, but not just when we get to heaven we can know him, but right now. So that you could know him right now. And if you could understand prayer today, that prayer is not just something you do when you come in the sanctuary and you pray in a King James voice. Oh, Father, I am so glad that you hear me today. That when I pray, no, listen to me. Christ came and brought you so that you could know Father. That you could hear his voice and that he would speak to you. I was raised in a church that didn't teach me that that's what prayer was. I was raised in a church that didn't tell me that God wanted to speak to me. And that I could know his voice. And that when Jesus said in John 14, these are my sheep. And my sheep know my voice and they hear my voice and they are led by me. That Jesus came so that we could be brought to the Father. I want to remind you that every day that God is inviting you to know him through prayer. Heard a teenager the other day when they came back from camp, they said, oh my gosh, I got to spend time with Heath. And I'm like, really? No. And I would say that I think she's like a 13-year-old girl, so that may have had something to do with it. But when you're in a youth group and your youth pastor is really cool and he's being used by God and it's all these things, it's like, man, that is so cool. Listen, God of the universe said, I want you to come and know me. I want you to hear me. I want to talk to you. I want you to be with me. And prayer is God, not Heath. God saying, I want you to come know me. I have brought you out of Egypt so that, not that you'll have a list of things not to do and a list of things to do and do these things and walk in obedience. Yeah, all of those things are very, very, very important. But if we miss the essence of prayer, that it becomes this mechanical check-off list where we get our gold star, instead of recognizing that when I wake up in the morning that I begin the conversation with the King of the universe, and that he wants to speak to me. And I want to go ahead and address this, because I've had several people say this to me. Well, Pastor, you talk like it's so personal. Like you really do hear God. And this is what I want you to hear. I want you to receive from me. You can hear him. I promise. I really do promise you, God wants you to know. When Jesus left the face of the earth and he had been walking with people every day for 3.5 years, he said, it's really good now that I leave, because when I do, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and you're going to be able to know me all the time. He was limited, believe it or not, physically, where you couldn't hear him unless you were with him. Like really in his, where you could hear his voice. And he said, that's not the way it's going to be now, because what I'm going to do is going to be so amazing that now you can know me all the time. You can talk to me and I'll talk to you and I'll interact with you. And I hate that I've been a part of maybe even the process of not telling people what's available. Come to the water and drink of him. Come to the water and know him. And you go, well, Pastor, it's so hard for me. I don't understand that. I don't know what to do. I want to simplify it. Ready? Sit with him and ask him to speak to you. And listen. We don't know how to slow down and meditate. And when I say meditate, we think, oh, you know. No, we don't know how to get in his presence. Let me back up. We don't know how to just be. Because you and I both know that this world is pushing all silence out so that we can't learn to cultivate knowing his voice. I'll go ahead and tell you, there's a competition going for his voice. A tremendous competition, because his voice oftentimes isn't like on the movie The Ten Commandments, when God just shouts down from a mountain. The Bible says it's a still small voice that we hear, and that we have to listen with our spirit. But there's a competing for that voice. First off, your flesh is trying to push that out. You can't hear God's voice if all you're doing is being driven by your lust. Everything is this insatiable desire for now. I want that now. And sin comes in because you respond to every craving that you have. And because of that, because you're constantly answering the voice of self that you would fulfill those cravings, it just pushes out the voice of holiness and purity. And you go, I just don't know why I can't hear him. It could be because you're saturated in sin. And you're like, well, I don't know. Well, then you need to deal with that and you need to come back. Your flesh is competing for the voice of God. Your intellect, the way you think all the time, so logically, so the Bible says that his ways aren't our ways. And so we have to get quiet so that we can quiet our voice. And I know. Listen, I struggle. I know what that means to try and turn that off, to quit thinking so that we could actually turn off a radio station of our mind, because we're so inundated the moment we get quiet. And one of the ways I trained myself was that as soon as I went to try and get in a quiet place, the Bible calls it a secret place. Shut the door behind you so that you can put the voices of the world and the voices of responsibility. You got to find a way, whether it's a closet, whether it's walking on your front driveway, whether it's coming to this church and just coming in and saying, I just got to get along with God. I don't know where your secret place is. But you got to understand that when you go into that, one of the things you're going to have to silence is your voice of intellect. And one of the ways I do that is I just get a notepad or index card. And whenever I think of something I need to be doing, I write it down so I can go, okay, I'll do that later. Now let me get back. And it won't take you long to train yourself how to quiet yourself. And yes, you have a competing voice of the enemy. There's a god of this world that wants to whisper in your ear and pull you away and fill your calendars. And when I talk to Christians, they always tend to say to me, I wish I just studied the Word of God more and I prayed more. And I'm like, well, then study the Word of God more and pray more. It's not complicated. It's just difficult, because somewhere we have to say no to something in order to say yes to something. And I know you're sitting there going, man, this is really not what I came here for today. And if you could hear me, it's what you need today. We wonder why we don't have peace. We wonder why we don't have rest for our soul. We wonder why that our lives are driven by fears. We wonder why our relationships are so complicated. It could be the fact that the Lord's not had a chance to straighten a lot of that stuff up. And I'm going to get into the exchange in just a moment. It could be because we're not walking in the byproduct of what he wants to do through us through that prayer. There's a reason. Listen to me. If Jesus, the Son of God, had to leave stuff and go up on the mountain to be by himself to pray, then guess what? I don't think you're more spiritual than God. You're not, you may be right there with Mother Teresa and Billy Graham, but Jesus, like, he's up there. And if he had to go get alone to pray to the Father, then he's given us the example that somewhere you're going to have to say no to some stuff to go up the mountain to your secret place. Whatever that looks like for you, you're going to have to separate yourself. If Jesus, who walked in the greatest anointing of the that the world's ever seen, had to say, I can't continue to live my life this way, even in the perfect will of God, without getting alone with him, then surely somewhere, no matter how mature we are, how much tenure we have in the church, somewhere we have to say, well, if it was good for Jesus, I probably need to do that. Somewhere you got to quiet all those competing voices. And let me just go back, because I'm always aware of new believers and people that are just checking this church thing out, God thing out. And this is what they'll say to me. They'll say, well, how do I know it's not me? How do I know it's God? I don't know how to tell you that, except for I have this promise that you will know his voice. How do I describe what that voice is like in my life? It would be like me trying to tell you what my mom, who is a Southern Belle in Gray, Georgia, what she sounds like when she talks. But I tell you this, we can be in a crowded room, I can hear my mom's voice and I know it. You know why? Because I have spent so many years cultivating it and being in her presence and loving her voice. That even if a bunch of people were speaking in here, I could close my eyes and I could go in the middle of 14 voices right there. That's my mom sitting right over there. I promise you, no matter who you are, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a leader in the church. If you just regular, hey, my name's Joe. You have the opportunity to know his voice. But there's not a shortcut to that, because you got to spend time with him. You got to walk and talk, but it's not just talking, it's listening. Somewhere we got to just quit telling him everything. He already knows it. I know he's inviting us to tell him, and we petition him. Can I just mention one thing to you? Man, my back hurts. I hate this. I'm so ready to be well. I got this list. This is my list from this week. These are things that I'm praying for. These are people. I got about 35 people on this list that I have been praying for every morning. I simply put out on Facebook on Monday morning, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I've been up 4 nights this week, 2:30, 4:30, up most of the night, can't sleep, hurting real bad. And you know what I decided to do? Instead of whining about it, I said, you know what? I'm going to just start praying for people. I put it on Facebook. I said, you got any needs, just send me a message. And I have been praying for these people. John Selly, I hope your back's better, man. Dude, I have been praying for you all week long. And I could call out other people on my list this week. But I want to take it a step further. Because, yes, this is part of prayer. This is part of petition. This is part of the invitation to change somebody's world in agreement with God's power. But listen to your pastor. Somewhere I have to put that in my pocket, and I have to quit talking to God, and I just have to walk with him and say, Lord, I just want to hear your voice now. What are you saying to me? And I'll go ahead and tell you, one of the reasons we don't want to do that is because then he'll say something to us we don't like. I haven't done it yet. I'm going to do it. I promise you I'm going to do it. I've tried a couple of times and I've hit on dead walls. I got somebody I got to go meet and talk to. You know why? Because in me listening for his voice, he said for me to make reconciliation with this person. I don't like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So listen to your pastor. It doesn't mean that God's just always going to come hug you. Oh, I love you, Andy. In your presence. Sometimes he'll speak to us about stuff in our life, or things we're supposed to give away, or what we're supposed to do. I remember when I was in Macon, we were in a church service just like this, and we had a guy from Maine. He was speaking, and so he was just talking, and he said, Pastor, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to just do this. I hate it when people do that are speaking in my church. Is it okay, Pastor? I'm going to do this whether you like it or not. And he said, I just feel like you guys got like 500 people in this church, and if everybody in this church gave $6,000, Y'all can pay off Sports Town. He said, I did the math last night in my hospital, in my hotel. He said, I'm just throwing that out there. So that week, a guy named Steve Eddy, who is a local car salesman, called me up and he said, Andy, I have the deal of all deals. I have a Mini Cooper that was in a wreck, and we didn't know it was in a wreck, but we just got the title. It's damaged, so in good conscience, we can't sell it. So what I'm going to do is, it's worth $22,000, and I can sell it to you if you come get it for $10,500. And I'm like, that's a good deal. He said, you could drive it 3 years, and then you could tell somebody it's a salvage title, and you could get your money out, and it's a free car. And I'm like, that's an awesome deal. So I went and picked it up immediately, brought it back to Sports Town. And I know now, girls drive Mini Coopers. But man, it looked good. So I'm driving this cool Mini Cooper. I think it's when one of the movies came out and everybody's driving Mini Coopers. So I drive up at the church and everybody says, man, what's going on with that thing? I said, I think I can drive this thing for free 3 years. And I'm always being a good steward. And drove it home and got up next morning, drove it to church. We, at that time, our staff was meeting from prayer from 8:30 to 9:30 before we ever began to pray. And so I'm walking and praying and I finally get quiet. And the Lord said, how are you going to buy that car? And I said, well, I got like $6,000 I'm going to put down on it, and I'm going to finance the other $5,000, and then I'll have it paid off in 3 years. And I went through the whole thing. He says, I want you to go write a check for $6,000, and I want you to take that car back. Lord, that really ain't why I came to prayer this morning. You listening to me? I'm in the car that God's giving me until I prayed about it. And God is not giving me the car. God's asking me for my $6,000 and I don't get a car. But this is one of the things I've learned. You want to walk in obedience to His voice. So I stopped, listen to your pastor. I stopped praying and I went in my office and I got my checkbook and I wrote out a check to Christ Chapel for $6,000. And I took the car back. Now you think I'm crazy because now you're going, now he's going televangelist on me. So isn't it funny though, like 8 years later, God gives me a motorcycle. And everybody goes, man, it must be nice. Look at that. We hate what they do on TV, but there is some truth. When you walk in obedience, then what you're doing is lining yourself up for the goodness of God to chase you down and overtake you. This is not a message on bring your seed of $1,000 so I can pray for you because my prayer will change your life. I'm telling you that when you get in the presence of God, God will speak to you. And when you walk in that obedience, not only does it work in heaven, it works on earth. And then you'll see things happen because then you become a kingdom. You're not of this world, you're of His world, and all of a sudden now God starts opening doors that no man could open. You do not pray to get that, but as a byproduct of prayer, He speaks, you move, and then you're lining yourself up for His perfect will, and you can't outrun the blessings of God. We do not pray for blessings, I pray so I can know His voice. Am I in the right room? Are you listening to your pastor? Let me stop, and because I know some of you just got sidetracked, and you're like, car, motorcycle, don't want to hear about this anymore, $6,000, let's ease out of here because God may ask of me something. Let's just quit this whole thing. You want to hear His voice. Listen to your pastor. Do not substitute, man, please don't substitute Jimmy's voice for the voice of God. Please don't voice. And listen, I love Joseph Prince on TV. Please don't substitute Joseph Prince's voice for the voice of God. Don't substitute the latest book, the latest fad, the latest get. You want the voice of God. You want to just sit when you hear it and not be troubled by it because there's nothing like it. Man, if this is it. Don't get me wrong, I love it. I love corporate gatherings. I love the church. Nobody loves the church more than me. I love going to church. But if this is it, you can have it. I want Him on Tuesday. I want Him on Thursday. I want Him in the middle of the night. I want the one who died for me to speak to me. I want to know Him. I want him. And that's what prayer is. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's where God's inviting you. That's where he's inviting us. Come away and know me. Did you not see what I did to the Egyptians? Did you not see how I brought you on eagle's wings? Did you not see everything I'm doing? But don't miss the point. I did this to bring you to myself. I'm doing this to bring you to myself. And if I could go, take it a step further. For those of you that are called into the ministry, somehow or another, you've moved. We're all called in the ministry of reconciliation. We're ambassadors for Christ. I understand it. I understand the deal. We are all representatives of Christ in our families, in our workplaces. But there are some of you that feel called to ministry. Listen to your pastor. Your ministry will only be effective as it is an overflow of your personal walk with God. You can't do it out of your past. You can't do it out of what you know. Anointing comes from having experienced him, walked with him, having a fresh story. And listen, the Bible says a wise man, Jesus said this, a wise man brings both from his treasure the old and the new. It doesn't mean you can't share old stuff, but if all you got to share all the time is old stuff and not new stuff, tell me what God's saying to you now. Don't just tell me what he told you to do 2 years ago or 5 years ago or in the good old days when God was really moving. Listen, I think God's supposed to be current with us. Ministry is the overflow of what you have in you now. Jesus came down from the mountain in the presence of God. And by the way, there will be divine visitations. Listen to me. There will be mounts of transfigurations where you experience things and you come down the mountain, you're like, don't talk to me. Don't even be around me because you're going to steal it. I know you. You're carnal. Just leave me alone. I just want the glory. And they came down from the mountain and all of a sudden there was a man that came to Jesus and said, we tried to talk to your disciples, but they, my son's demon possessed and they can't. They can't do what you do. And Jesus said, how long I got to be with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus spoke and everything happened. And then all of a sudden they said, why couldn't we do that? And this is what Jesus said. This comes but by prayer and fasting. Now, is that a formula? Well, this is what I work my formula. Next time I have somebody demonic, I need to have had prayer and fasting. No, no. What he's teaching is power comes from being current with God. Let me back up. Let me rephrase that because I don't want to always speak in absolutes. I believe that ministry, productive kingdom ministry, flows out of a current relationship, walk, exchange with God. Because you have to fight for that. Everybody who's a minister in here, listen to your pastor. Everything is going to press in to get you to leave. The most important thing is what happens on the mountain when you with God. And you will all of a sudden go, well, why didn't that work? Why am I so powerless? Why aren't people listening now? Why is it that everything's so hard? Because God's gift to you is that it's going to be hard when you lose the source, when you leave the source. Now, I'll give you the example. In Acts chapter 6, this is what it says. And the disciples have been caught up in all of the work of the church to the point where they had lost the study of God's word and the preaching. They had lost prayer and the study of God's word, and they had not been preaching anymore. And they said, whoa, 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 whoa. We got to make the main thing the main thing. So we're going to appoint 7 people to care for the widows. But as for us, we cannot lose the center part of who God's calling us to be an effective minister. And that is we have to be current in prayer. We have to be current in the Word of God. We got to have people, we got to have something fresh to say. When Simon Peter goes up to the gate, beautiful, and the man had been paralyzed for a long time and he was begging for gold. And Simon Peter says, look at me. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I will give to you. See, you got to have something in order to give it. Everybody look at me. You got to have something in order to give it. What you give can't be, well, my pastor was telling me this story, And that story, I want to share that story. I'm not saying there's not an anointing on someone else's story. You need your story. You need to say, I heard God, this is the verse, this is the context, this is, come here, this is my bread. I'm giving you my bread, and that only comes through prayer. The Bible says that there was a group of people that was sort of following around the disciples, and they went in this deliverance ministry, and they went in there and they said to the demon, we tell you by the God of Paul, come out of him. And them demons beat them seven boys up and sent them out the road naked. He said, Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are you? We don't know who you are. In other words, what that story is teaching us, it is about the finished work of Christ, but it's also, I am more confident to preach to you. I'm more confident to share with you when I have just come out. It's something about when you just come out of the kitchen with some fresh food, you want to share it with everybody, right? I am very quick to post my pictures of my mama's blackberry cobbler when it comes out of the oven. Listen, follow me. But when we were out there last week, she gave me a piece that I didn't get to, and it's sitting on my counter, and it's been there for a week. I ain't going to be quick to post that picture. If you can take that and turn this, listen to your pastor. We are quick to step out and speak to the mountain. We are quick to step out and offer fresh bread. We're quick to talk to people about revelation that we just got when we just gotten it. And I say it again, listen to me. The world needs fresh bread. I'm not saying that the old treasure is not good, and I'm not saying that things that God can bring to our remembrance. How about this? God bringing it to my remembrance. God reminding me. So I want to ask you, I want to pause real quick, and I'm going to go ahead and close. I got so many notes. Here a point, there a point, everywhere a point. I'll post it this afternoon in case you want my outline. And I may teach again in the next couple of weeks on this because it's such a rich subject. I don't want you to miss out on everything he's got for you. I don't. If my musician can come. I want to close with this thought. There is this crazy, crazy exchange that happens. I can't even begin to express it, but those of you that have experienced, there's this crazy exchange that happens when you're with him. At least for me, I'm not telling you it's 100% of the time. There are times I come out of prayer and I go, nothing happened today. Yes, it did. You may not have thought it did. Listen to your pastor. You may not have thought it did. Every time you get in his presence, an exchange is taking place. Part of you is being dethroned and you don't even know it. True prayer will take your eyes off of you and onto him. It will. So you are being dethroned, and some of us need to be dethroned. Can somebody say amen? Some of us just need that. That's what we need more than anything, to where everything ain't about me all the time. It's about him and it's about others. And the only way that happens is through the transformation. It's the renewing of our mind. It's the transforming of our mind. It's the changing of our heart. And can I go ahead and just tell you, because I have experienced this, there's also a lifting off of us, a burden. I don't even know if that's a current word. I'm an Old Testament guy. Weight. Heaviness. You can be walking through such a difficult place that you almost don't even think that you have hope. And I can testify this. You just are so bowed under that nobody can help, and it seems like nothing can bring relief. And all I can tell you is that in those places when all you even may have is a desperate cry, it's a cry. In his presence, he begins to answer your cry. He begins to, when you're petitioning him for relief, when you're petitioning him for answers, direction, when you're petitioning him to lift that off of you, I'll tell you how I know that he's answering your prayer. It's because you're still standing. I'm still standing. You know why? Because I have been praying since 4:30 this morning that I'd be able to get through this day. I've hurt so bad the last 3 days, and I don't know why my back is hurting me like it is. And listen, before you come, and I love you, but right after service, I'm walking through something that he scheduled for me to walk through. And I'm going to walk through, and there are times he don't want me to get through until he's done the work in me. But I'm getting through it because he is giving me his grace that's getting me through. I am standing here today. Do you know why? Because I ask him all morning, give me the strength to stand today. I ask you, God, don't let me have to call in somebody else to preach for me, God. I want to stand. I want to stand today. And sometimes you won't even think that he's answering your prayer because you're like, nothing is changing. Nothing is getting better. I talked to somebody in between the break today, and they were basically saying, I'm so tired because every time I think I'm getting out, I go back 10 steps. And I said, man, let's sit down and we can talk. I'm telling you, we can talk right now. I'm just so tired of it. But listen to your pastor. When we keep going back to him and you won't even know what's happened, he's given you grace to get through that day. He's given you grace to get through that season. And I'm just here to tell you, I'm going to be on the other side. And 5 years from now, I'll remember it. I won't ever forget 2014. But it won't be defining for me anymore. It'll be a scar on my hand that I look up and I go, what's that scar, Pastor? I can tell you. Or I can pull up my shirt and you say, what's that scar? And I go, well, I can tell you. Just about died there. But I didn't. You know why? Because I kept going back to him and I kept bringing my need, my lack, my condition. I kept coming back to him, and somehow or another, he kept giving me healing. He kept giving me grace. He kept giving me strength. Having done all by God, I'm still standing. And you don't even understand it's happening, but I promise you it's happening when you pray. It is happening when you pray, because there is a heavenly exchange that's taking place when you just come in his presence and you say, Lord, here I am, Lord. I don't look like much today. I don't look like much. My friend Lisa texted me this morning. She said, you going to make it, or is Heath going to have to preach? I said, he's in North Carolina. He ain't preaching. And this is the truth. I said, sometimes God invites us just to press through so that we can see that he is giving us the strength to press through. The only reason I'm preaching today is because God answered my prayer. I prayed, though. You got to pray. You got to ask him. We have not because we ask not. Lord, I'm asking you. And even if you're in a place today, I want to speak to the person who's without hope. Jimmy mentioned this. He said, somebody in here is without hope. Somebody is without hope today. You walked in here and you're such a desperate place. And Jimmy, his exact words to you today is, I can't do anything for you, but I can bring you to the source of hope. His name's Jesus. I can introduce you to him. And this is my word to you today. Ask him for hope. Ask him to touch you. Whatever it is, Father, I need you to heal me. Father, I need a miracle for you to provide my rent because I'm about to be evicted. Here I am, Lord. Lord, I need a job. It's been 6 months. The benefits are gone. I need a job. Father, I'm asking you. And he's not, listen to me, I want to make sure you hear this. God is not a 25-cent gumball machine. Put your prayer in, turn it over, and answer it. This is what I'm telling you. He will speak to you, and he will guide you, and he will strengthen you, and you will get through this season because he is carrying you on the wings of angels because he is bringing you to himself. And the key is you're not looking for the answer. You're looking for him. The answer is the byproduct. That's the byproduct. What is it that you're in need of today? What is it that's going on in your life? What brought you to church today? Pray about it this week. Pray about it. I almost said it. My daughter says, "Dad, you say that all the time." Last thought. She said, "You're a storyteller in church." Last thought. Here's what I have done. When my prayer has turned to petition, and this is my wife sitting right here. When my prayer has turned to laying on the couch in a pool of tears, and my prayer is laced with accusation or doubt or complaint, every time I've reached that point where my prayer has turned toxic, I put a comma on it. And I say, this is what I say, but I'm not in the hospital today. And I'm not running a fever today. You're going to laugh. And my kids aren't on crack today, I hope. And we go back and forth because this is the will. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is the will of God for you. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything, but in everything. You're a sadist if you go, "Ooh, I love this pain. Hurt me some more, Jesus." No, 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 no. No. Lord, here I am surrendered to you. This hurts. But in the pain, thank you for the 98 things that are working in my life. Prayer, petition, fellowship, intimacy, comma. But at the end of it, you are a good God. And my prayer turns to praise. My prayer turns to worship. Thank you, Father, for being faithful. Even when I struggle. Let me close our service. Father, I issue to this house a call, not to worship, but a call to prayer. I ask you, God, quicken us. Father, I lay my hands on Richard and Tommy and Sarah. And I just ask you, Lord, invite them this week. And every person in this place, my friend Casey, Lord, I just ask you to invite them. Invite them. And I pray for them to have what we talked about earlier. Let me be the first one to get up out of my seat and run forward. What good thing do you have for us this week? Let us run forward into knowing you, experiencing you. I pray in closing for the person that feels like something has disqualified them and they can't hear you. I ask you to especially speak to them loud. Give them a token. Give them something that is so crystal clear that it's undeniable. God, I thank you for what you're doing in the invitation today. And I thank you that you answer prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Hope you have a great Sunday afternoon. And be safe and be blessed.